Yes, very good morning. I have my co-host with me here, Richard Manson, joins me every Monday. He's an event producer with Flying Elephant and also the author of The Thinking Tank. That's Jay DeWild. And she wrote The Thinking Tank whilst living in Dubai in a coffee shop at Emirates Hills. And just to give you a synopsis of the book, 1969, London, England, and Sally, a little girl dressed in brown, visits Father Christmas at a church fair. He rescues her as she trips and stumbles into his arms. And then something happens. It is 2003, and in Rutland, England, Sarah's relationship with her daughter Rebecca is going from bad to worse. Torn apart by family secrets, yet locked together by a solemn promise, the future for both seems bleak. But the mysterious and haunting circumstances of a hospital visit set Sarah on a path of discovery from which there is no turning back. She travels to Spain in search of answers, but even before she arrives, it becomes clear that offers of help rarely come without strings. And this book is doing so well. It's there on the women's fiction list in Amazon, getting great reviews, and nice to know that it was written here in the UAE. Now, Jay, just reading that and hearing your story, you can sort of, I know it's not autobiographical, it's a work of fiction, but you have Rebecca there, and your daughter is called Rebecca. And it's a, there is there, it's set in Rutland, and you lived in Rutland in England. Also, mother and daughter relationship. So obviously bringing to this work of fiction feelings, thoughts, themes that come from your own experience.
Yes, Suzanne, I think that any author that says there is absolutely nothing of themselves in a work of fiction is either kidding themselves or kidding the people that they're talking to. Clearly, there are elements there. For a start, Sarah is in a hyperbaric oxygen tank when the whole thing kicks off. It's one of the catalysts in what happens next. And that's my own experience. And yes, you mentioned that there is a Rebecca in there. That's a complete accident, actually. I started writing the novel with a character called Charlotte as the daughter, and it just really didn't work. And so I thought, no, this is just not working for me. I'll just pop Rebecca in there and see, you know, what I'm going to change it to later on. And it just stuck. Rebecca's actually spelt K-A-H at the end in The Thinking Tank, whereas my own Rebecca is the sort of more common E-C-C-A ending. And when I'd finished it, it became really difficult to even consider changing it. So I gave the book to Rebecca to read, my Rebecca, and said, look, if you want me to change the character's name, I will do so. I'm really sorry I borrowed your name. And she said, after she'd read it, no, Mummy, you know, I would be honoured if you kept it that way. And the irony is she's now changed her spelling
really?
To K-A-H at the end. So it's now become the same spelling as the character. But it isn't my Rebecca. People that know Rebecca will know that this character is a very different character from my Rebecca, who, incidentally, you know, she still... suffers from the fact that her sister died. You know, we can't get away from the fact that it affects the whole family. So I don't want any listeners out there thinking that, you know, that this was all about me. The whole family, when Rowena died, clearly had their own issues to deal with and had to deal with it in their own way. And and I feel guilty in a way because I found it difficult myself to help my Rebecca. So in a way, writing The Thinking Tank was quite a step forward for us because... I connected with Rebecca over this in a way that perhaps we hadn't connected very well for a number of years. And
it's a kind of legacy in a way, you know, that it's brought you together through something you've written and out of this experience and, you know, a kind of tribute, if you like, to Rowena. Because I know she always used to say, write, Mummy. And I know you've got cassettes of Rowena that she made and with her stories and things like that. So it's a lovely way and an idea that words and writing words can and bind people together and reconnect people. There's a text message here saying it's an incredibly brave story. And I'm wondering what effect it's had on your relationship with your other daughter.
Oh, so okay, interesting.
Yeah, and then says, did it result in you feeling even more protective of your daughter, or were you scared that the same would happen to her? And she says you're inspiring.
Well, that's very kind of her to say for a start. And yes, thank her very much, really, for bringing that up, because I was overprotective for quite a while, and I think that in itself made the relationship quite difficult, because obviously children need to grow up. She was only 13 and a half when Rowena died, and she relied enormously on Rowena, because Rowena was the common denominator between when she was with me at home and when Rebecca went to stay with her father. Rowena, being the elder sister, was the one that was more in charge. So she, if you like, represented stability. So for Rebecca, it was, you know, obviously it's massive for anybody in this situation, but her rock, if you like, was gone. So, but I became very overprotective. But in the same way, because she'd been there when Rowena died and I hadn't been, this was separating us. I felt guilty not only that I hadn't been there when Rowena died, but also that I wasn't there to support Rebecca when Rowena died. So it was a kind of double guilt on my part. And I'm sure that sort of came out in everything that I tried to do. And parents have enough trouble getting things right anyway. We all make massive mistakes, and I made loads and loads of very big mistakes during that period of time. I was ill anyway and finding it very hard to cope myself, and therefore finding it even harder to help Rebecca cope.
Coming back to the book and Sarah and, oh, sorry, Sally, starting with Sally in 1969,
yes.
And an incident happens when she goes to see Father Christmas. And, you know, we don't want to spoil the book for people that may want to read it, but basically it starts, which is quite interesting for a book such as this, with abuse.
Yes.
So a form of abuse happens, and it's dark.
Yes, yes, it's dark.
It's dark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's graphic. And from this, the book then unveils more and more. So people have responded to that in many different ways in the reviews. Some, you know, one person I think gave it one star, and other people have gone, you know, this is something that needs to be talked about. And again, yes. What I find interesting is that, you know, it's not autobiographical, but you have gone to a very dark place in your life. You've had this traumatic experience, and, you know, it's almost like, and I think you've described it in one of your blogs, you know, the elephant in the room. So a death of a child where somebody may know that about you but doesn't want to say anything or doesn't feel they should say anything.
Yes.
Similar, you know, you've had an illness and depression, mental health. You know, these are all areas where people can feel very sensitive or think, we don't talk about that.
Mm-hmm. It's the taboo.
It's the taboo.
Yes.
It's the elephant in the room. And here you are at the beginning of this work of fiction where a young girl is abused, physically abused.
Yes. Highly inappropriate relationship, shall we say. Yes, again, it is a very dark topic, but I don't want people to think that the book in itself is a dark book, because it's not. But this is a catalyst to what happens to Sally for the rest of her life, if you like. And I suppose what happened to me in terms of Rowena dying, in terms of the illness, it made me look at life's catalysts. It made me look at the kind of things that happen that we don't want to talk about. We don't want to talk about death. It's a taboo. Everybody says, when your daughter passed away, to me, and I refuse to use that euphemism. I will always say, when Rowena died. We don't talk about death. We don't like to talk about depression. That's another elephant in the room. And we also don't like to talk about abuse, inappropriate relationships, that sort of thing. And yes, I think that the review that you were referring to, and yes, I must just redress the balance, because there is only one
yes.
like that. The rest are actually exceptionally good. So I'm very blessed that way. And thank you for everybody who understood what I was trying to say there. But this person, and it is a guy, he says, this section makes you feel like you've eaten a dodgy prawn. And I went, hurrah. It's supposed to make you feel like that. It's supposed to make you squirm. It's supposed to make the reader aghast that something like that could happen. But of course, we all know that things like this happen. And we all know that it very often happens because somebody abuses their position of power. And power is an intoxicating thing. And it happens in here because there is somebody in a position of power. There is somebody who is in a position of complete trust. And Sally is a very vulnerable girl. And I think that we do brush these issues under the carpet very often. We don't want to talk about them, and we especially don't want to talk about them happening where somebody's in a position of trust, because we want to trust the people in positions of trust, essentially. But, you know, all too often in the news we do hear about situations like this. So, yes, it was looking at what dark things happen to people, the going back to the life's crappy stuff, the stuff that makes our lives what it is.
And how that affects the rest of our lives, you know. Absolutely. And, you know, trauma like that as a child will stay with you until old age.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Like I said before, you know, the vocabulary of getting over something, it's not appropriate when it comes to death or abuse or things like this. It is more to do with re-engaging with life and trying to find a new normal. At least for me it is. I know everybody reacts in different ways, but if there is something that can come out of talking about issues like this, and you know, and if it helps people engage with life and see that there can be positives after the negative, you know, that's
and when
what it's
and when
about.
You started feeling better, was that a very sort of an active moment? Was it, my gosh, I'm on the road to recovery here, or, you know, was it looking back prospectively, going, actually, we're coping?
We'll find out in just a moment.